Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Turn to Proverbs chapter 31, please. In your Old Testament, after the book of Psalms, turn to Proverbs, the last chapter in Proverbs. The woman in this passage is not just a literary figure, but I believe a symbol of wisdom personified. This wisdom embodies the divine attributes of God as the source of wisdom, strength, and grace. And this passage also records, I believe, a mother's wisdom to her son, a future king, instructing him on how to rule with justice, avoid immorality, and to find a virtuous wife. Now, mothers, this should be your goal and your ambition as a mother for your sons and for your daughters too. I believe that Proverbs 31 was originally written to young men, particularly future kings, teaching them the value of wisdom and the values that surround self-control and the value of godly leadership. Now, in the first 9 verses, Lemuel's mother warns him. Write this down, moms. You need to warn your sons when they're little, all the way up till they get to be my age. And my mother's still warning me. You guys are trying to play a trick on me. I just know this. Y'all come up here and you use this thing and you turn it off. I'm not used to that. Immorality with women, which has ruined many kings. Wouldn't you say that? I did not. It's ruined kings. Drunkenness, which leads to poor judgment and is just wrong. It's sinful. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 4 through 5. And neglecting justice, especially for the poor and the needy. This is critical advice for any leader. Remain pure, remain sober, and stand for righteousness and truth. Now, the last half of the chapter is often read as an instruction for women. But it was originally advice to men. So I'm going to ask, ladies, for you to get out of the way of yourself, okay? These are attributes that you should aspire to. No one is perfect. No mother is perfect. No woman is perfect. No man is perfect. Listen, we look to this ideal. We look to this goal that God Almighty has set before us. And we strive every day to try to attain more and more of what it is that will make us pleasing to Him and successful in this life. Proverbs 31 was written to help men recognize the value of a godly woman. My dad used to make me read it all the time. I'm serious. He did. Read Proverbs 31. It teaches that outward beauty fades, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. This passage serves as a model for women who seek to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, who seeks to be successful as a mom, successful as a wife, successful with friends and the society for which she lives. So this morning, I'd like to focus on the characteristics that define a godly woman. That is what I desire for Ashlyn and Caitlin. It's what Muffy and I desire for Hannah, my granddaughter, is to aim for these goals that are from above. Take note of them. Focus in on them. These goals that are a part of the kingdom of God, goals that are not of this world, focus in on these, ladies and gentlemen. These are characteristics of a godly woman. And men, these are divine attributes that you should be looking for in a wife. And I'll tell you, they are divine attributes that you should put on. What's the description of an ideal woman? Well, it was just read. At the end of this book of Proverbs, this beautiful poem extols the virtues of the ideal woman. And in this poem, the writer begins his description by saying something that I can remember thinking when I met Muffy. She is rare. I had been around a lot of women, too many, and the wrong ones. They were not rare. She was rare. And thanks be to God that I had sense enough to recognize it. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. And I'll tell you, not every woman is like this. Neither is every piece of jewelry precious. Why are pearls precious? Well, they're precious because they're rare and they're hard to find. Now, how many of you know about zirconium jewelry? That's the stuff that looks like a diamond if you're too cheap and don't have enough money to buy one. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of jewelers that can't tell the difference between a piece of zirconium and an actual diamond. Oh, they're beautiful. And they sparkle, and they appear to be expensive. But it's a fake. It's not valuable. A virtuous woman is a woman of inner strength. She is a woman that cares about what God Almighty cares about. She focuses in on that ideal. And that woman of inner strength, it's hard to find. It's hard to find, and it's even harder to find than a precious jewel. And that's the point. And why is she so valuable? The heart of her husband trusts her. And he will have no lack of gain. She does him good, not harm, all the time, all the days of her life. Good. not harm. She thinks of other people before she thinks of herself. She has grown to understand that a Christian woman gets out of the way of herself. It is not about her. It is about her husband first, and it's about her children next, and it's about the church and society after that, and her job or whatever it is that she has to deal with from the standpoint of responsibility. That's why she's so valuable. But this is describing the relationship that she has with her husband. She is trustworthy. This is a quality that she has as a person, as a godly person, whether married or not. I want to make that point to you. Whether she's married or not, ladies, whether you have a husband or not, that's not the point. When you have found a woman like this, you have found a precious stone. Credible, reliable, dependable, honest, godly. So what are the inner qualities of trustworthiness? Well, in the following verses, the author goes on here in 13 through 24 to describe the outward signs that reveal the inward qualities of trustworthiness. And you can just put that up there. That can be a heading over those verses. Okay, ladies, moms. Moms, this is what you ought to talk to your daughters about. She's a good manager and she's a good worker. The author gives several examples of her hard work and her good management, and she's cheerful in her work. She's not, I gotta go do this or I gotta go do that. I have this responsibility or I have that responsibility. She doesn't complain. She doesn't see her work as a burden. She doesn't see motherhood as a burden. I see a lot of women today that act as though having a child or something is a burden. Let me tell you something, ladies, and let me tell the world this. There's a whole lot of women that can't have children. For whatever reason. You think it'd be a burden to them? And men, you need to think real hard when your lovely wife is having a difficult time with the children or whatever as it relates to your home or what she's involved with. You need to think real hard about what you say, what comes out of your mouth. And if you want to do something smart, help. She's a wise shopper, incredible cook, and conservative with her family's money. That's found in verse 14 of this chapter. I kid about it all the time, but Muffy will not shop at Dillard's. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But she won't do it. You know where she goes? To Goodwill. That's where she shops. She goes to these garage sales and picks up stuff. Look at what I got. It's still got the tag on it. Well, that's great. Okay? She's concerned, ladies and gentlemen, about our money. She's concerned about not taking advantage of that. She's concerned about her children and everybody else knowing that material things are not what's top on her agenda. And forgive me about talking about my wife. I can't help it. It's just who she is. And she's learned to be an incredible cook. She wasn't at first, but you didn't hear me say that. She takes her home responsibilities seriously, very seriously. and she oversees her household tasks. Let me tell you something, men. Surely the scripture teaches that the man is the head of the home. I know what it teaches. But if you have any sense at all, and you know anything about this book, you will understand that your wife manages the home. She is the manager. Just tell her to stay out of your garage. The fact of the matter is, my wife can't stay out of my garage because she's constantly putting junk in my garage that she doesn't want in her house. That's okay. She has these garage sales. I tell her, just bring it to Goodwill already, okay? You stood out here in the sun for all day long and you made $200. What in the world? And they're proud of that. Hey, I made $200 off of this junk. Excellent. But it really is excellent, isn't it? Her business sense is her ally. She knows how to turn a profit without sacrificing her home. There's a whole lot of ladies that go out and work in business, in the community. And that takes away from their home, their family. There's nothing wrong with going out and working. There's not anything wrong with that, but don't let it take advantage of your family. She doesn't tear down her home with outside work. Do you understand what I'm saying? But rather, she builds it up. And you can do that, ladies, even if it is that you have to work outside of the home. Verses 17 through 19, she does not fear hard work. And she's diligent with her work at home. She knows the difference between leisure and laziness. Now, is there a time for leisure? Absolutely. Men, how many of you here recently have grabbed the vacuum cleaner and I call it mowing the carpet? How many of you have done that here recently? Have you done that? You know, she has a whole list of things that she has to do in her head. She knows what they are because she manages the home. You don't even think about it. Don't tell me you think about that. You don't. You don't think about that. You might think about mowing the grass. My wife mows the grass. Dude, is that not awesome? She likes it. I mean, I use the weed eater. That's a little bit too much for her, but she likes to mow. Look, guys, be smart. When's the last time you did the dishes? Well, I've got a dish. Well, when's the last time you loaded it? She doesn't fear hard work. She's going to do it whether you do it or not. She's diligent. She's deep. She's got her priorities right. She's diligent with the work at home. She proves that a well-managed home is profitable. And it's a savings to your income, gentlemen. By her commitment to her work at home, she contributes to her husband and family's reputation in the community. I guarantee you. I'll promise you. When somebody comes over to your house, what's the first thing did you think that they think in their mind? Wow. This place is not only orderly, but it smells good. I love the fall. She has so many smells in the house when I come home. I love it. It's either cookies, which I don't need, or it's these candles that just smell so good, so warm, so inviting. I want to come home. I love it at home. She's committed to her work at home. She contributes to me and my family's reputation and the community that we reside in. Her children, ladies and gentlemen, are clean. They are clean. Listen to me. Her children are clean. They're well-fed and they're mannered. They know how to act. She cares for her husband first. Ladies, it is not your children first, it is your husband first. He comes first. And then your children. Now, this is a picture of her home. This is her home. Ladies, it's your home for which you are the manager. You manage it. And if marriage is a partnership, and it is, this woman described here is the good partner to have. She's the good partner, men. But what makes her a good manager? What makes her a good partner? Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. This is the second outward sign that we find in this passage that reveals this trustworthiness we've been talking about. It reveals her good character and her reputation in the community. And there's actually four of these attributes that are outlined here in the passage. And the first is found in verse 25. She is kind and she is generous. Isn't it interesting that that is first? James tells us that benevolence to the poor and the homeless is the sign of true piety, godliness. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to do what? To visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. This, ladies and gentlemen, is where kindness and goodness comes in. She is a spiritual woman with a godly character. Now, ladies, if you work on that first, if you put first things first, if you turn and you look unto God first, if it is your desire to obey Him and to live with for Him first, this will develop a godly character. And this will allow for trustworthiness. This woman has confidence. She's confident within herself. She's not afraid for the future, whether it be near or whether it be far, because her faith and good works, they cover her with honor. They cover her with power. And this is the power and honor that comes from on high. She is a person who is at ease in her conscience. See, that's what's important. She's at ease with herself and her conscience because her heart and her hands are busy doing what's right. If you are busy, if you are trying to live these attributes, you don't have to worry about stuff. You've got a conscience that's at ease. She's not guilty. She's not depressed because she's busy giving herself. Not thinking about just herself, but giving herself as the Lord would have all of us to do. She's giving to others that she loves. And isn't that what love is all about? Isn't that the example Jesus Christ gave for us? Well, of course it is. Along with this, she's wise. Her tongue is not for gossip. Her tongue is for edification. Now, Scripture teaches us that that's a difficult thing for all of us, but especially, it seems, for women. But that's not who she is. Her desire is to edify. I'm going to tell you what, her first desire as a mother, if indeed she is blessed to be a mother, is to evangelize her children. That is number one. Evangelism of her children. And it starts with you, moms, because dads are out at work trying to, I hope, they recognize the fact that it's their goal to support the family. But you are with these little ones that God Almighty has blessed you with. It is your responsibility to evangelize them. It's your husbands too, but you have them for the majority of the day if you're fortunate enough to stay at home with them. And I would tell all of you to strongly consider that, if you can. She never uses her words to destroy, but see, it's always about building others up, building her children up, building her husband up. And it begins with her husband. Let me tell you something, ladies, just a pat on the back every now and then, okay? Just something that's sweet about what it is that your husband is trying to do. Just an arm around their shoulder or a kiss on the way out saying, you know, I believe in you. And I believe in what you're doing. And I know it's hard sometimes. And I know I get frustrated with you sometimes. And I know that you are frustrating to me sometimes. But we're on the same team. I have faith in you. You'd be surprised what that'd do for a man. This is wisdom from above. Don't you see that? And the woman of this poem demonstrates that she has this. Now remember, guys, these are attributes that you shoot for, all right? No woman is perfect. No man is perfect on this earth. She is concerned, but primarily for her home and family. That's in verse 27. It is not that she isn't concerned with the problems of her society, but the concerns of her home are first, ladies and gentlemen. They are first. And when we take care of our own home first, there's usually less problems in the world that surround you. She is aware of the needs of her family. She is aware of the community, and she uses all her skills and all of her qualities to be of service to everyone. Don't you know women like that? It's never about them. It's always about her husband, her children, and others. She's cooking for people. She's going and visiting people. She's carrying her kids, you know, to vacation Bible schools and all over the place. And I'm not talking about being a soccer mom. And that's not bad either, I guess. But she's taking her children and showing her children what service is about, what godliness. But you know something, guys? I'm going to tell you something. I've raised two girls by the grace of God. I had a wife that, well, I couldn't have done it without her, certainly, but listen, it's not just about what you say. You hear me? It's not just about what you say. It's not just about the fact that you come in here and you sit down and you listen, which I'm thankful for that because we're commanded to do that, and that's something we should do, and to spend the time to take your kids back to the Bible class. Oh, and also to teach every now and then because that's going to do you some good too. But it's not just about that. It's not just about what you say. It's about what you do. It's about what you do outside of this building. It's about what you do every day if you're fortunate enough to stay home with your children. They see it. That's so important. I remember the day that my mom was able to come back home. You know, for the first 6 or 7 years of my life, she had to work as a school teacher. There wasn't any other way to provide for us, for she and I. But I remember the day she came home. Because Dad showed up in the picture. And he was a dentist, and she didn't have to work anymore. That was a great day for me. That was a great day for me. I remember it as though it was yesterday. She was there all the time. Just like the other children back in the 60s, many of which had mama's home all the time. I'm not telling you you have to do that, ladies. You know, they're going to come back to me later on and say, well, Steve, you said all of us had to be. I'm not saying that. What I'm telling you is how I felt. You added up on your own. I was so glad she was home.
Thanks be to God.
She's concerned.
But primarily for her home.
Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, that the man is the head of the woman, and consequently, the head of the home. But look at what Lemuel, the writer here, balances this picture by showing us that the woman, listen to me, ladies, the husband's the head, but you know what the woman is? She is the heart of the home. Mm-hmm. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. That's how he feels. You know why he feels that way? Because that's who you are. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. When the head and the heart are together in union with Christ as the Lord of the home, I will tell you that is a wonderful place to be. And someone should say amen to that if they hadn't said amen to a thing I've said all morning. That's it. When the head and the heart are in union with Christ as the Lord of the home, what a wonderful place the home will be. What are the rewards of the ideal woman? Well, that's found in verses 28 through 31. And so in these last verses, the author describes the rewards waiting such a person and the clear signs that this woman who has looked to these attributes and worked on these attributes and tried to take what it is that God Almighty has proclaimed in his word and tried to make that a part of her life, she's trustworthy. And that's demonstrated by her good stewardship of her home, the way she manages the home, and a godly character. And that's what brings the reward, don't you see? Her family praises her. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. We just read that. Her children are thankful that they have a mother like her, and they talk about it. What a reward for a mom. That she has grateful children. That her children love her. Her husband sees her as the best of all women. Why in the world would a man want to leave a woman that he considers to be the best in the world? And what that suggests is absolute fidelity, absolute devotion. Her family praises her. Her community praises her. Her neighbors and friends and community sees her as a woman of value and character. And in the end, the author summarizes this true essence of value. He summarizes it. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates or the gates of the city. Her motivating top factor is not beauty. It's not charm. It's not social acclaim. It's not how high she gets into the business world or if she becomes a CEO of a company. It's not about that. She is a person that fears, respects, and obeys the Lord first. This is what motivates her. Her desire is to work hard to serve others first. Men, that should be the desire that you have too. This is Christ-like. This is who we're trying to emulate. Listen to me, to serve others, to develop a good character and be inspired. Not only to live for Christ, but to inspire others. Don't you see? In basic faith and obedience to God Almighty, God desires that all his daughters become women of value. That's what he wants. Now, I want you to notice some things that were not mentioned in Proverbs 31. Can we do that? These are things that are not mentioned in Proverbs 31. Okay, you ready? Her looks, her skin, her hair, her weight, her height, her figure. Ain't nothing in there about that. Her independence. Not even a question for her. Her knowledge and education. Not even a question of whether or not she went to Harvard University and got a master's degree. Not that that's a bad thing. It's just not mentioned in here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I would remind you, ladies and men, verses 19 through 20, your body's a holy temple. And don't forget it. Your body's a holy temple. You honor God with it. It's not your own. That means you develop self-control in all of the ways that your body might be harmed. You get my drift? Now, why is it that these things weren't mentioned? Because they're not important in and of themselves. They're not mentioned because they did not make her more valuable one way or the other. But let's talk about what was mentioned. Her work and responsibility toward her husband, family, and community. Do you see it, ladies and gentlemen? Her attitude of kindness and wisdom. See, that was mentioned. Don't you see it? Her confidence and lack of guilt. She doesn't have guilt because she has confidence in the fact that she's obeying the Lord. Don't you see? Her reward of praise from the three groups that she serves. Actually, it's four, in my view. Husband, first, family, church, and community. And God himself praises her because she serves him. And he wrote this poem in her honor. Now, ladies, if you want to look at it some kind of way, why don't you look at it that way? Get out of your own way and look at what you can be. If you couldn't be that, he wouldn't put it up there. We have extremes in recognizing women in our society. Either you have a day that honors only those women who have children, Mother's Day, I guess, and then you've got these other organizations that promote women who see themselves as feminists, I suppose. Okay, but that's the extremes that we have in our society today. I want to encourage women who work hard in raising children, managing their home, but I also want to include all those women who are striving to become women of courage in our society. Women who are in the workforce, women who are in college, wherever you may be. Women who are resisting the pressure from the media. And it is on all the time. You're resisting the pressure from the media and from society to work only on the outward beauty. I'm not saying it's not important to work on your outward beauty. Please don't misunderstand. We're not talking about extremes here. But here's the deal. It's not about outward beauty. It's not about the pursuit of money and power. It's not about that. But through patient obedience to Jesus Christ, you are creating a beautiful inward person, which makes a difference to everyone. Don't you see? Women who in a thousand ways, I guess every day, are serving their husband first, their families. Let me tell you what, if the media had it their way, you wouldn't serve your husband at all. All you'd be concerned about is yourself. Oh, yeah. Can we face that fact? Women who in a thousand ways, I'm going to say it again, every day serve their husbands. They serve their families. They serve the church. They serve the schools that their kids go to or their communities, and they do it sincerely, and they do it with great devotion, and they do it to their own expense. Women whose strongest desire is not to be free and independent. That's not what it's about. But rather to be useful and to be kind and to be generous to anyone who is in need. Women that are keeping themselves pure and ready for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, we have many such women in our congregation. And there are others, many others here in Texas and around these United States and congregations that our young men should take careful note of and apply and review this lesson as they're going to try to take a look for a wife and vice versa. Why is that? Because you want to know what the gauge, you want to know what a man's gauge is for finding wives, and believe me, I know this, because when you're 18, you still have a small brain. When you're 19, 20, 21, 23, I would tell you up to 25, I had a small brain, okay? I wasn't seeing things the way they should be. A man's gauge for finding wives is based upon worldly ideas that they're consumed with. Not the godly ones found in Scripture. For women, whether they are married or single or widowed, with or without children, I pray that God will bless you this morning, to bless you as a true woman of courage, a Proverbs 31 woman. And I pray, gentlemen, that you will promote that every day of your life, that you can live on this earth with the wife of your youth or with any of these younger women or older women alike or elderly women that you come in contact with. Because you see, this is your responsibility. For those women or anyone who want to become the virtuous woman spoken of here, or a man after God's own heart, the first step is to give your life to Jesus Christ in repentance and baptism, and then you will be pure and special in God's sight, regardless of what you've done in the past. And if you've fallen away, and all of us have, you will come back. And you will admit to what you've done and confess before your brethren, your friends, your family, your husband, your wife, what you've done. And you will repent of that. That means to turn away. That means I'm not going to do that anymore. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you and make you whole again. Thank you for paying attention to me this morning. That's an honor. I love all of you. What I'm trying to do is help all of us be better. So here's your homework. Look in the mirror and think. Think about your wives, gentlemen. Think about your husbands, ladies. Think about who you are, single ladies, and what you want to be, who it is you're looking for. Single men, what's important? What are those attributes? Mamas, raising your children that you're fortunate to have in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, evangelizing them every chance you have and putting God Almighty first as it relates to your teaching and instruction of them. And you begin when they're old enough to understand what it is that we want our little kings that God's blessed us with to have as a wife, and our little queens to have as a husband. You start early. And more than likely, you will have success in that. God bless all of you. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Keep it bright.